more rippling decisions on the way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve kicks off a two-day meeting to discuss interest rates today. There's no sign the Fed is ready to start raising those rates. Instead, as the economy begins to pick up, economists are thinking about when the Fed should ease up on easy money. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
A lot of cheap money is sloshing around between rock-bottom interest rates and virtually free loans to banks. Eventually, that's a recipe for inflation. So the Fed will have to pull money back out of the economy by calling in loans and selling off bad bank debts. But right now, inflation is nowhere to be seen, says William Dunkelberg, the chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business. In fact, he says salaries are dropping.
So compensation is certainly under control. Unit labor costs are not going to be going up, and that's the main thing that puts pressure on prices.
Without inflation, there's little need for the Fed to raise rates or unwind lending programs. And some think even when inflation arrives, the Fed should hold off.
If we could get some inflation, I think that would be great.
Christopher Hayes is the Washington editor for The Nation magazine. He says a little inflation for a little while would get the economy's juices flowing again and reduce unemployment. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
A little rebound from yesterday's sell-off. European shares are up right now, an average of a percent, maybe a percent and a half. Asian shares closed mixed today. The Hang Seng closed higher. Chinese benchmark tanked 2.5%. The Asian Development Bank said today the region is leading a global recovery. It raised its growth forecast for China and India. Oil's at $70 a barrel today after sliding south overnight. China said crude consumption did a little sliding in August. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 and Dow both shed a few bucks, mainly under 0.5%. The Dow closed at 97.78, and the NASDAQ went all rogue and closed higher yesterday. Well, the FDIC, which insures bank deposits, is running short on cash. Normally, it gets its money from fees paid by banks. But after bailing out 94 banks and counting this year, the FDIC needs a little more money. And some banks are saying they're too weak to keep pitching in. Now we're hearing about a new idea to fund the FDIC. Marketplace's Tamara Keith is with us live from our bureau in Washington. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the FDIC talking about here?
Well, the New York Times is reporting that FDIC officials are considering going to healthy banks and asking them for loans, so sort of a reverse bailout. The banks would get bonds in exchange for the cash, so these loans would show up on their books as an asset and they'd earn a little interest.
All right. So, Tamara, couldn't the FDIC also go to the Treasury for this money?
Yes, the FDIC could go to the Treasury, but there's a sense that FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair would like to avoid it. And the banking industry would love to avoid it, too. They worry that there could be huge political backlash if the FDIC had to be bailed out by the Treasury. It would be sort of like TARP Part 2, but smaller and still angry.
Yeah. And what comes next? Where's the idea going?
The Times says the FDIC hasn't settled on this as a strategy. It's just one of the ideas being considered. And so the FDIC next week is supposed to unveil its plan for replenishing the fund.
All right. Marketplace's Tamara Keith live from our bureau in Washington. Thanks, Tamara.
Sure thing.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com.
Chocolate company Cadbury is now appealing to a UK regulator for help in its battle with Kraft. The American food giant is after Cadbury with a $16 billion takeover bid. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has the latest.
Cadbury has asked the British Takeover Panel to intervene. It wants the panel to impose a deadline on Kraft, forcing the American company to make a formal offer to Cadbury's shareholders by a certain date or drop the bid, in effect a put up or shut up. Fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart says the panel has the legal power to make such an order and will likely use it.
They want to make sure that companies don't have predator companies hanging over them like vultures for months on end and thus almost unable to carry out their business, knowing that someone's watching over their shoulder to see if they make one mistake and then they get pounced on.
He says a deadline, possibly the end of next month, could flush out a higher bid from a rival confectioner like Nestle or Hershey, or a better offer from Kraft itself. Last night, Cadbury's chief executive left that door open. He was quoted saying in the US that combining with Kraft would make some strategic sense. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Obama and the Chinese President Hu Jintao will be talking climate change in New York today, part of a major climate summit at this week's UN General Assembly. Marketplace's Elisa Roth explains.
The United States produces about a quarter of the world's greenhouse gases, but it still doesn't have an official climate policy. Jake Schmidt is at the Natural Resources Defense Council, and he says President Obama's message needs to be clear.
The U.S. is back and willing to cut its absolute emissions and create clean energy.
Europe and other developed countries have been annoyed with the U.S. for not doing more to help, and they're worried the U.S. won't be able to keep promises it might make in the future. Europe's already committed to major cuts in emissions and said they'd go even further if other countries did. And then there's China. The Bush administration blamed China and other developing countries for not doing enough to cut emissions. But now China's making all kinds of promises about renewable energy. And Jake Schmidt from the NRDC expects President Hu Jintao to make more in his speech today.
We're going to cut our emissions in the near term. And while we're doing that, lay the foundation for even deeper cuts in the kind of medium term.
All of this is building toward the big climate meeting in Copenhagen in December, when the world's environment ministers will try to come up with a new international protocol. But many are worried there's still too many differences to reach an accord. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Finally, there was the belt clip for the Walkman, the armband or fanny pack for CD players. Now there's a piece of clothing to hide your music. The Commuter Tie by British shirt brand Thomas Pink features a small pocket on the reverse side to hold an iPod Nano or other MP3 player. A fabric loop keeps the wires hidden, so maybe at your next work meeting you can imagine the boss lip-syncing to Jay-Z in your ears as he drones on and on and on. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.